This morning we see that in Genesis 1, God's recovery work for the kingdom is absolutely a matter of life. And not only the created life, but ultimately it is the divine life that is going to rule. Right? Although God created man in his image, according to his likeness, that he should rule, yet without God's life coming into us, our human life is still not adequate to rule, especially when it became corrupted by the poison of the serpent. Then it's even worse. It is really even worse, right? So may the Lord really show us this wonderful heavenly vision. Amen. Don't just take it as a teaching or doctrine. It's useless, no. But we know that this is what the Lord desires to achieve. And so we can see that the principle of this life and the goal of this life is the kingdom. And this morning we see that in order for this life to grow, in order for this life to develop, it is very important for us to see the first three prerequisites in Genesis chapter 1. Right? There is this separation of light and darkness. This is definitely very important in the whole Bible, light and darkness. You remember the Lord is the light, and God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And the enemy, the power, the authority of Satan is the authority or power of darkness. So in Genesis chapter 1, in the first day, what God did was to call forth the light. Let there be light. So God separated the light from darkness. As a Christian today, as people of the kingdom, we need to be able to separate light from darkness. This is very basic. We should not have anything to do with the unfruitful work of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 said it very clearly. But expose it, even rebuke it. But today in this world, you see less and less separation. You cannot tell anymore what is right and what is wrong. My goodness. The so-called human rights. Everybody wants to have their right. Right. So, no, in the Word of God, the Word is very clear. What is light and what is darkness must be clearly separated. If in our daily Christian life we can no longer separate it, and we are children of light and children of the day, this is what Paul said. In the Word, light and darkness can never mix together. It's very difficult to compromise. You cannot compromise. So right in the Gospel of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. And the Lord did say in chapter 3, unfortunately, man, fallen man, loves darkness more than light. This is the problem today. Right. But praise the Lord, for God's kingdom, the kingdom people, we should be those who love light and those who walk in the light. As he is in the light. John said, The message is God is light. In him is no darkness at all. So this light of life will help us to grow spiritually. Anyone who wants to grow in a spiritual life must take care of this wonderful light. In John chapter 8, the Lord said, I am the light of life. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Right. So this is wonderful to see this morning. And the second day, God created a firmament, and he separated water below from the water above, and he called the part that is above heaven, heavenly part. And the one that is below is the earthly. And we can see the first man, Adam, is earthly. But the second man, Christ, is the man from heaven, is heavenly. As Christians, growing in this kingdom life, you need to learn how to separate and discern what is heavenly and what is earthly. And Paul and the scriptures encourage us to seek after the things that are heavenly. A lot of people are seeking for things that are earthly. What are you seeking for? For a good job? Of course we need a job. I'm not saying you should not look for a good job. Right? But you should not be caught up with it and become a slave of it. And at the end, you don't even have time for the Lord. No time for fellowship, no time for reading the Bible, no time for the building up of the proper church life. You're only thinking about earthly things, first car, second cars, first home, second home, third home, one job, two jobs. At the end, you're caught up with earthly matters. You don't have any more time for the Lord because your mind is so set in the earthly things. And remember what Romans chapter 8 tells us, to set your mind on the things of the flesh will be death. At the end, you're just there, empty. You feel empty. But set your mind upon the Spirit and seek after the things that are above. My, there'll be life and peace and joy. You'll have satisfaction. Praise the Lord. Right. This is really wonderful. To look after the heavenly things where Christ is. Remember Colossians chapter 3. Right? Since we are dead with Christ, that means the flesh has been crucified with Christ, then Paul says we must seek after the things that are above. Let me tell you one thing. The things that are on this earth is temporary. You have a good job now, but you don't know when it's going to end. You don't know how the economy is going to go. You don't know when everything is going to collapse. And the scripture is already predicted just before the Lord will come, everything will fall apart. You know, a lot of things are falling apart today. Right, really, you never know what's going to happen. Right? Never know, right? Nobody would know what's going to happen. You in Athens. Praise the Lord, now you're here in the States. That's wonderful, in Canada, right? In Boston. But have you ever dreamed that it's going to fall apart? No. So everything is temporary. And if you set all your time and energy and everything and investing on the things of this earth and it falls apart, what would you have? Nothing. Right? When it falls apart, all that's remaining is the 60, the first digit is gone. So it doesn't matter how many zeros you have. When that first digit is gone, what you have is a lot of zeros and nothing else. Agreed? Agreed. So if you Seek after things that are above where Christ is. That treasure is going to remain forever. It's everlasting. It will not fade away. Yes, it will not fade away. That is a very good investment. Praise the Lord. Then when Christ returns, when the Lord returns, you will rule with him and inherit the kingdom. Eh? You make the choice, right? What you like to invest in today, it's up to you. Now, but we really need to see, are you for the heavenly realm or are you for the earthly? This is why the Lord Jesus in Matthew tells us in chapter 6, I believe, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other things that you need, don't worry, he will add it to you. Yes, he will add it to you. But if you seek only after the earthly things, you lose the heavenly kingdom. You're losing a lot. You're losing everything. Right? So the second day separation, what is heavenly, what is earthly, it's very, very important. You really need to know. I was just told by Tiffany, when we were having lunch today, he had a friend who was in a mega church, so to speak. And she found out, we're in a Facebook or somewhere, wow, they were talking about the Daniel's plan. Your husband was just talking about Daniel. And it was a different plan that he was talking about. You know, your dear husband was talking about the kingdom plan. That the saints will inherit the kingdom. Wow, that's a marvelous verse. But they there in California, they were talking about a diet plan. In the book of Daniel, a diet plan. And it became such a big thing. Oh, you know, like the Daniel, they did not eat the Babylonian food. And, you know, wow, you need to take care of, you know. And so they have a Daniel plan. My goodness, can you imagine if Daniel heard about it, he's going to jump out of his grave and said, what are you doing with my book? How can people do that? And they're selling those books and everybody's buying and cooking according to the Daniel's recipes. This is a money-making scheme. This is a money-making scheme. Why don't we Christians use our... Well, anyway, if you're going to use your mind, you need a renewed mind to really know, right, and see through. But if you cannot separate it, if you cannot even discern what is the third one, what is life and what is death, how can you grow in life? You know, a child, when he is a child, he cannot discern too much. You tell him to discern, or no, he cannot discern. But when a child grows, the more he grows, your five-year-old, seven-year-old, right, they will be discerning more. So if we remain children, you cannot discern what is life, what is death, what is heavenly, what is earthly, what is light, what is darkness. You cannot separate these things. That means you don't have much growth in life. Right. So this 3 days work of the Lord shows us a very important spiritual principles as a prerequisite for the growth in life. Don't think it's just Genesis, it's just about creation. No, no, no. It is definitely not about creation. Why? Because both the Apostle John and Paul and the scriptures there use these verses in a spiritual way, in a spiritual sense. grasping and taking from those verses in Genesis 1 the important principles of life. And we need to grasp that and understand that if we are really for the growth of the kingdom. Then you can really see immediately after the dry land was prepared there, the Lord didn't waste any time to let life grow. But the life that grew in the dry land, the beginning of this life, is just the plant life. I'll just use the word plant instead of the plant life. It's, in a way, the simple form of life. Look at the grass. Does it have a face? Can you hear it? No. But is it alive? Yes, it is alive. But that life is very simple, right? And the wind blows, they go that way, the blink goes. It's very nice. It's very good. Excellent. And it's good for food for the cows and for the sheep and the goats, especially they love the grass. Right. Then you have, at least the Lord mentioned here three forms of plant life. You have the grass, which is very simple. Then you have the herbs, right? Which is much better and better function, can be used for its medicinal purposes. The herbs, the bitter herbs, right? When the people of Israel kept the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread, the Lord told them to even eat the and have the bitter herbs to go along with it, because the herbs there are for the healing purposes, right? So you have the herbs, and then you have the trees, right? Trees with fruits. Wow, that's even much better, much better, right? Would you like the bitter herbs or the sweet fruit? You tell me. Well, sweet fruit, of course, apple, oranges. Wow, you have wonderful tangerines there, right? You have grapes, wonderful for enjoyment. So you have this form of life. There's not much expression, but you have some very good taste and seeds. Right? And the Lord did use this form of life. In Matthew chapter 13, we read this morning, the Lord came as a what? As a sower. As a sower. Right? Not as a cowboy, cattle raising. No, but a sower went forth to sow. He sowed the seeds of the kingdom. And he talks about the wheat. He sowed wheat. Wheat in the Bible signifies the human life. The Lord says he is the grain of wheat that falls into the ground and die and bring forth many, many grains. So don't think that this plant life is no good. No. Plant life is a simple form of life which signifies once you are saved and receive the Lord, yes, he became your life, but you have to realize that is the third day life. It's living, you feel alive, but not much expression, right? And it tastes good. Praise the Lord, and there's some healing there. You know, a lot of believers, once they believe, immediately there was a change in their life. Well, all of a sudden they don't smoke anymore. And all of a sudden, after you're saved, you can't tell lies anymore. You'll be surprised something changed in your life. And things you used to do, you can't do anymore because there is a change of life. Yes, no, don't look down on those changes. It's really wonderful. But you have to see that it is in this level. This is the third day life. Third day. There's the life in the third day. Then you have the fifth day life. The fifth day life. But why is it that plant life is the third day. Plant life is the third day. Yeah, that's right. It's the third day. Right? Now, what happened in the fourth day? What happened in the fourth day? In the fourth day here, in order to progress to the fifth day light, the Lord has to take care of the sun. We need the sunlight, not just a general light. The day one light is a general light. Let there be light. And that is a general light. But then in the fourth day, and we call it the fourth day light, you have the sun, you have the moon, and you have the stars. Praise the Lord. Now these are the ruling light. The Lord set it up for signs, for time. The sun to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night. Praise the Lord. You need to rule the night. Right? And otherwise, the night, can you imagine, the night will be over 24 hours a night. That's not good. Right? And the sun, you don't know how long the day will be. Just 3 hours light, and then 24 hours night, that is not good. No. Day and night will be regulated. Day and night will be regulated. And so you have the sun, the moon, and the stars. Spiritually speaking, the sun refers to our Lord Jesus Christ. His coming is as the Son of Righteousness. And in Revelation, you can see his face shone as the sun in its might. He is really the Son of Righteousness. Praise the Lord for that. But now that he's gone, after he came, he left. Again, he ascended into the heavens. Now the church is here as the moon reflecting the light of the sun. So the moon should rule the night. You know, at the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, it says, there is no more night there. Wonderful. Unfortunately, today there's still night. But the Lord is working so that the night will be shorter and shorter and shorter. Now let me ask you, how long is your night? Before you got saved, it's all dark. Then after you got saved, wow, all of a sudden you see the daylight. And the night, it becomes a little bit shorter. And I hope that as you grow spiritually, the night becomes even shorter. And as you mature in life, your night becomes even shorter. Because you are a person now walking in the light of life. So when you come to the new Jerusalem, there in the book of Revelation, there is no night there. How wonderful. Praise the Lord. This is wonderful. So don't think that the fourth day light is not important. No, there is a very wonderful principle there. That's why we said in this outline, it is what? That's titled, The Goal and the Spiritual Principles of God's Work. As seen in Genesis chapter 1. So in order to progress, you know, for the plant life, in a way you can preach the gospel, listen to the gospel, and get saved anywhere. You can receive the Lord anywhere in every situation. Right? So the light here is very general, but if you want to go beyond this level, you need to know the Lord in a more solid way. You know, Paul preached as gospel the unsearchable riches of Christ. Take a look at the sunlight. Wow. It's unsearchable. It is an amazing source. Right? Inexhaustible. So solid. And then you need a church life to really proceed to go on. No Christian can exist by himself. No, it's not possible. After your children is born, what do? Put it in the street and let her exist. The baby, just let her crawl on the road and just do whatever they like. You think you'll exist long? No. What do you need? You need a proper home. A proper environment for the growth. Right? Now, this is very important. So, to proceed to the fifth day life. Firstly, you have, what do you have here? Number one is the fish life. Marine life. Let's just use the word marine life. Right? All kinds of living creatures in the fish. Now, the fish is much, much better than a blade of grass. Right? At least it has some kind of a face. And two eyes. But you know, some of the fish are really ugly. But at least there is a face. And there's a form now. And it moves. It moves, it swims. It's much, much better than even a tree, right? I don't see a tree running around. Do you plant your plants in your garden, run around? No, better not. It'll be terrible, right? But if you have goldfish, you have an aquarium in your house, you can see, wow, it's really wonderful, right? They're mobile. And they know and they'll be afraid. If you tap it, they'll run away. Right? They have more consciousness. So as the form of life grows, you can see that there's more consciousness. There's more expression. There's mobility. Right? And in our spiritual life, it is like that. If you don't grow in life, you can easily be deceived and cheated by people. You know, unfortunately, many Christians today, they were kept like babes. After being a Christian for so many years, they still don't know what is right, what is scriptural. They just believe everything what a pastor says. You think that's good? So out come the Daniel plan. My goodness. And you pay so much money to buy Daniel plan. And you swallowed it. So unfortunately, you're just like a little plant there without mind. You're mindless. You can't even run away. When people try to catch you and deceive you, you don't run away. You are just there, sitting, vulnerable. No consciousness of life. Right? So, but in the fifth form of life, well, the fish, although they run away, if you put a little candy there, with a line there, a little... hook, they still come. They still come. Very easy to catch them. I think many of us have gone fishing before, right? So I went fishing once because one friend of ours in San Francisco one time took us fishing. And so we went fishing in a boat. the weight. And why, we really got some rockfish. But the guy who was on the other end, he got big fish. I thought I was in the wrong place in the boat. How come I was on the side, he was on the end of the boat, but he got big fish, and I got only this big? So I went over and I asked him, I said, I must be in the wrong position, right? I thought I was in the wrong position. How come you got big ones and I got small ones? Then he explained to me, no, if you want to get big fish, you need to use other kinds of bait. Special bait, but those bait are more expensive. I got the cheapest bait, so I got only small fish there. Oh, I said, that's it. I said, oh, it's not a matter of the position, it's a matter of the bait. Right. But nevertheless, a bait is a bait. You know, the enemy is a cunning enemy, and he puts a lot of different bait catch you. So to be a fish is okay, but sorry, the brain is just about this big. So you see a nice bait, you come and immediately you get caught. Right. Now, but the fish life can exist in the dead waters. And now this is important for us to see. Praise the Lord. That's why the Lord prayed in John chapter 17 to the Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world. Oh, where are they going to live? After you got saved, the Lord is going to transport you to the moon. No. And there's nothing there, right? So he's going to leave you in the world, but then he gives you a life that overcomes the world. That is why the Lord says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. We have life that overcomes the world. And you need to know this life. You need to grow to this stage so that you can live in the world and not be for the world. Right? Don't be trapped. Don't take the bait. Right? Then you have the second form. In the fifth day life, you have the what? The birds, the fowls in the air, the birds' life, not airplanes, but birds. You can see. Now, this is a much higher form of life than a fish. Now, these birds can fly, you know, and soar in the air. It's not easy to catch. Right? So here you can see that these fowls, these birds, can take off. You know, the Bible says that the Lord not only saved us in Ephesians chapter 2, not only raised us up from the dead, that we will overcome the death here, but he also make us to sit with him in the heavenlies. Let us read Ephesians chapter 2. This is not just for you to believe, but for you to experience. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. My. Talking about the living dead. Right? And you he made alive, you, the believers, he made alive who were dead. My goodness. We didn't know we were dead before, right? Dead in trespasses and sins. You see, God's way of looking at the fallen human race is quite different. You wouldn't dare to tell people you're dead. No. You don't have to do that. But Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus, you were dead in sins and trespasses, but the Lord made you alive, in which you once walk according to the course of this world, like a dead fish, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Chapter 2, verse 2 there, right? Have you got it? Yeah? Ephesians chapter 2. Among whom also we all, once upon a time, conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. My, we were in bad shape and didn't know it. It's a good thing somebody described it to us right here in Ephesians chapter 2. Otherwise, we all thought we were okay. Now, this is what we want to see here. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Is that good enough? Are you saved? And what else? It says, and raise us up together. You know, you may be alive, but still in the grave. You like to be alive and still lying there in the grave, in the tomb? No, you rise up. Right? And raise us up together with Christ. And not only that, but made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, this is very important for us to see. It's not good just to be a fish in the sea all the time. That you are just there and fighting against the streams and against the wave flowing, and you're there struggling always. And, you know, it is really a hard life. Right. Always having to go against the flow and against the current. And no, but it'll be wonderful if all of a sudden you can just jump out and spread your wings and fly, you know, to be sitting with him in the heavenlies. Yeah. This is this category of life here. It's not to be just alive, but to take off. And we need to do that. We need to experience sitting with the Lord in the heavenly realm. You know, if you are in the heavenly realm, then everything is under your feet. Instead of you being under the pressure of so many problems and difficulties, and your boss and your company and your tons of work, and you're being pressured there, you go up. And when you go up with the Lord in heavenlies, then everything seems to be so small. Right? Have you looked up the window from the airplanes? All of a sudden, Toronto becomes just this big. Right? The higher you go, all of a sudden you see, wow, Toronto is getting smaller and smaller. And all of a sudden it disappears. But if you are not up there and you're down here, the mountain is so big, it seems you cannot overcome it. So the best way is to go up with the Lord and sit with him in the heavenlies. Then everything becomes small. No problem. Right? When everything becomes as small as an ant, are you afraid of an ant? No. But if you don't go up, then everything looks like an elephant, dinosaurs. What was a dinosaur? How am I going to tackle this problem? Right? But if you go up like an eagle, then you look down, hey, that's not a dinosaur. That's I don't know what it is. Just a little worm there moving around. Then it's very easy for you to overcome. Right? So this is the stage of this life. This is really wonderful. This is really wonderful for us to experience the fifth day life. Now, let's quickly go to the sixth day life. What do you have now? All the what? All the cattle. Praise the Lord. You have the cattle. Then you have the beasts. My, now you can see that, you know, the birds, the eagle has a more distinct feature, definitely, than a fish. Really, a much more clearly distinct feature than a fish. But the cattle and the beast has even a much more stronger and definitely a more distinct expression, like the lion, for example. Right? You can see the lion, you can see the elephant. You know immediately what they are, right? But in this category of life in the Bible, we're just going to make it simple tonight. According to the Bible, most of the offerings are in this category. You cannot offer a fish. I didn't say you can offer a fish. At most, you can offer a dove, but that's the smallest thing that you can offer. Of course, you can offer also the wheat, the fine flour, and the first fruits. But the main offering that has blood, that shed blood, is in this category. You remember our Lord Jesus, he has four faces, right? Did he have a face of a tree? No, the tree has no face. And he didn't have a face of a fish? No. But he had a face of, firstly, the man. Man is at the end of the sixth day. Man is here. Okay, man. Now, man has a very distinct feature. It is according to the image of God. Now, this is what God is after. You have so many different forms of life, and each form is higher, more distinct, more expression, more mobile, more strength. Right? Look at it. Look at a lion. My goodness, so strong. Well, would you like to meet a lion? You wouldn't want to meet a lion. Right? The lion. Right? What about an ox? Right? So here you have a much more strength and more expression and more mobile and able to carry a lot of load and do a lot of things. Right? And then finally, at the end of the 6 days, God says, let us make man in our image. And let them have dominion. Now, only when God came to this point that the word dominion was mentioned. Because even up to this form of life, they cannot rule. Can you let the lion rule? If the lion is ruling on this earth, pretty soon there won't be any other creatures left. They'll be all eaten up. There won't be anybody left. Right? So here, no, you cannot let the lion rule. But here, well, you can really see the progression. But the most wonderful thing is, here, in this category of cattle, you know, why is it that the Lord has the face of an ox? What is an ox for? To work, to labor. According to the Bible, an ox is a cattle, is an animal that works, that labors, do hard work. to serve. That's why the Lord says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. He became a servant. Can you imagine? The Lord came to serve. What do you prefer, Tiff? To serve or be served? To be served. Because you want to be the boss, right? Or do you want to be a janitor in a company in Apple? What do you do in Apple? Oh, well, a janitor. I don't think you would like to tell people that, right? But you know, in Philippians chapter 2, the Lord, He was God Himself. He put aside His glory, His majestic glory. He lowered Himself, He emptied Himself, not just to become a man, but to become a slave. And this is really wonderful. This is why the Lord has four faces, and one of them is the face of an ox. And according to the Bible, an ox is an animal who serves and bears a yoke and work and till the land. And there is a law that says you must not muzzle the mouth of an ox when he is treading the field. And Paul used that in Timothy, the epistle, and says, do you think the Lord said that in His word because He takes care of the ox? Paul says, no, we are the ox. We are the servants there. So what is the ox referring to? To all of us today, as the serving ones, we must serve. Right. So when you come to this point, you will learn to lower yourself to serve and be willing to be sacrificed. Are you willing to be sacrificed? All the ox, the sheep, the goats, they were used as offerings, laid, put upon the altar, and be slain. The blood will be shed. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He became our sin offering, willing to lay down His life, to shed His precious blood as a sin offering for the remission of our sins. What about in the church life? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing? If you're not willing, it's okay. Nobody can force you, and nobody should force you, because then you're not yet up to the six-day life. You cannot force the fish to be sacrificed. No. Well, the fish is very good for the grill. It's good to grill. You have fried fish, grilled fish, it's very good. Right? But to be used for sacrifice? No. Right? So here, praise the Lord, in this category, it is so wonderful. You learn to sacrifice yourself, willing to lay down your life. You're willing to serve in the house of the living God, right? To bear the burden of others. If you read all the epistles there, whether it's been Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, right, all of these, it all shows us that we need to have such a life to bear one another's burden, to serve one another, right, to really give your life as a living sacrifice. Did not Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, in Romans chapter 12, by the mercies, tender mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But Paul did not command that, he beseeches. Why? Because, hey, you cannot command anybody to do that. No. Right. So then the Lord in Revelation chapter 5 is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That is why the right hand side he has the face of a lion. You know, we always preach that Christians you always be nice and smiling. Right? You think the Lord is always smiling? And always so nice? No, of course, don't be always look like a lion. That's also not good. Right? But, hey, when necessary, the Lord was like a lion. Not toward the saints, but toward God's enemies. So in let's read Revelation chapter 5 very quickly. I'll try to end it, the meeting, faster, otherwise we'll all be tired, right? Or are you a lion here? You see, in chapter 5, nobody was found worthy to take the scroll and to lose its seal, and John was weeping in verse 4. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read a scroll, because really no one was except the Lord. But one of the elders among the angels here said to me, "Do not weep. Behold the sheep of the tribe of Judah." No? The lamb of the tribe of Judah? No? What? The lion. It's the kingly tribe, Judah. Right, so to be a king, you cannot be like a mouse. The mouse of the tribe of Judah, that's not very good. Don't be a mouse. You must be the lion of the tribe of Judah. Maybe you never heard the Lord is a lion. He's not just a lamb. He's a lamb to be slaughtered for our sin offering, but against the enemy and to rule. To defeat God's enemies, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has prevailed to open the scroll and lose its seven seals. Right. So the Lord is not just a lamb, but he is also a lion. It all depends on what angle you look at him. This is really marvelous. Right. So, may the Lord have mercy on us here. In God's kingdom, we need also a lion face. A lion face. Whether you like it or not. I know we all like to have a smiling face. But what can we do? If you meet the enemy, if you meet the power of darkness, which face are you going to show? The lion face. When the Lord faced those religious people there, the high priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you think the Lord used the lamb face? No. The Lord was never afraid of them. No. The Lord always exposed them. That's why they hated the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, you Pharisees, you hypocrite. The Lord spoke in a very straightforward way. Right? And wow, how many woes were there? Quite a few. You whitewash sepulcher. Outwardly you look so good, inwardly full of dead bones. My goodness, the Lord was not afraid of them. The Lord was not afraid of them. He was really the lion of the tribe of Judah, worthy to be the king. He defeated, like David, all the enemies. That's how David gained the kingdom, because through the power of God, David subdued all the surrounding nations, right, and defeated all of the enemies, and a kingdom during the time of David was established. So here you can really see when we are in this category. Praise the Lord. Right. The Lord is really wonderful. And then behind, hidden behind, it was the head of an eagle. The eagle is the king among the fowls, the birds. Right? The eagle, meaning to say that he is the king of the heavens. He came from heaven. He is God himself. Our Lord Jesus is God. But that face was always hidden in the back because the Lord didn't come to show that face. He came as a man. And so in all of these four faces here, if this is the back, this is the front, this is the right, and this is left, then you have in front is the face of a man. Man. On the right, you have the face of a lion and the face of an ox. And then in the back, you have a face of an eagle here. It's really wonderful. An eagle. An eagle. So today in the church life, in God's kingdom, we should be so balanced. We should be so balanced. Don't just having a face of a man. It's good. But remember, the face of the man is always in the front. Otherwise, when people see us, they'll run away. They thought they saw a lion somewhere. You'll be always roaring. It's not very good, right? It's not always good to roar. Okay? Brothers, please don't roar all the time. And not, especially not against the saints. Okay? Please don't roar. If you're facing the saints, face them with the face of a man. Right? Praise the Lord. So you can really see that all of these shows the growth and the progression of the maturity of this life until finally the Lord can gain his image. Man, the highest form of created life, created according to God's image, in God's likeness, to rule. So if God could not reach to the end of the sixth day to have such a man created according to God's image, how can he have his kingdom? Do you think God's kingdom can exist just to have all these form of life without the final creation of man in the 6 days? Can you imagine Toronto having only plant, fish, fowls, and cattle, and some nice beasts running around, and no men? What do you have in Toronto? A farm, at most a zoo. You have a zoo. A zoo, there's no kingdom. Yeah, no kingdom. No. So God has to have the man. But unfortunately, the serpent came and ruined this man, and poisoned this man. So what is the Lord going to do? Praise the Lord. Let us go to Ephesians very quickly and we end the meeting. So the Lord came not only to save us, to recover men, but through his death and resurrection, he created a new man. Now let's take a look at this. This is really a wonderful story in the Bible for God's kingdom. Right? Verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14, for he himself is our peace, Christ is our peace, who has made both, both means the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and the Gentiles, who have made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, what? one new man from the two. Because in the Old Testament days, in God's eyes, there are only two categories of men, the Jews and the Gentiles. But now in the New Testament time, there's no more difference between Jews and Gentiles. Because now we have the one new man. That fallen one was the old man. Now, through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he created a new man. A new man. Right? So here, thus making peace, that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now, let's quickly jump to chapter 4, verse 22, 23. Right? He said here, put off the old man, 22, right, which is corrupted according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise the Lord. Now you have the new man. We need to put off the old man and put on the new man. Right? And then let's go to Colossians quickly. Chapter 3, again, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the what? The old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jews. Oh, sorry, no more Greeks. Hallelujah. And no more Chinese. Can you say, praise the Lord? No more Americans, no more Canadians, no more Persian. Praise the Lord. No more. Because if we are still in the old man, we can never become one. It's impossible. No, not possible. It's not possible to build up God's kingdom. We'll be fighting all the time. You know, according to the Bible, there's no Chinese church. 什么中华教会啊,教会哪里是中华? And the church is never Roman. How come there's a Roman church? And no Greek Orthodox. The church is not Greek. American, first American Baptist, no, second American Baptist. Why is there an American Baptist? There's no American Baptist. No. Neither Greek nor Jews. Right? Neither circumcised nor uncircumcised one, no religion. It's not a religion. We are not for any religion. Barbarian, Scythians, educated, not educated, slave or free, no difference in social status. But Christ is all in all. My, what a new man. This is the new man that is able to rule. Praise the Lord. Now, up to which stage is your growth in life? You assessed it yourself before the Lord. You can really see when the Lord came to this point, then he could rest. Then comes the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is the millennial kingdom. Then his work is done, finished, finito. That will be the end. Then we can all enjoy the millennial kingdom with him and rule and reign in the kingdom of righteousness and peace. Wonderful goal in God's plan. I hope that in this few days of meeting, the Lord will impress by the Spirit and His Word His wonderful divine plan. Don't take it as a doctrine. No, we need to get into it. And let the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth and reality. Right? So, as the Lord said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good enough for this weekend, right? Amen.